Poetry Rocks Tool 17, the persona. And the purpose of the persona is to expand on your competency with sound by focusing on diction, syntax, and voice. And you're actually going to write what's called a persona poem. And a little bit of background, the persona poem is a poem in which you write as if you are someone or something else. And there's a long poetic tradition of these. Another way to think of a persona poem is as a dramatic monologue, like in a play where a character addresses the audience directly. If you want to learn more about persona poems, I've got a couple links for you. The Poetry Archive is a really great source of that, so you can read more of them. And one that I'm especially fond of is a poem by the former North Carolina poet laureate, Catherine Stripling Byer. It's called Circuit Rider, and it's a poem in the voice of a spunky mountain woman who has is speaking to a preacher when he comes to try to save her. I really like it, and I have a link for that as well. You can write a persona poem from any point of view, even that of an object or an animal. So you can really expand beyond just using a person, and you can do this for a fictional character or a real character. And you may remember when we were talking about figurative language that when you have poems that personify an object, you're actually using a form of figurative language called personification. And I have a link to an example of one of those, which is a poem by Sylvia Plath called Mirror, where she actually speaks in the voice of the mirror. It's a pretty cool poem. So what you're going to do is you're going to play with diction, syntax, and voice by writing a persona poem. And the first thing is just to be sure to pick a subject that you'll really enjoy being. And remember, any person or object or animal, anything you can think of is fair game. And if you're not familiar with persona poems at all, you may want to check out some examples with the links above. The first thing to get started is to just sit down and make a list for a few minutes. Just list people and objects that come to mind that you think would be fun. And that way you have a couple to pick from and your mind can kind of mull this over for a little while. That just seems to always help, is just to give yourself a little bit of time to find a subject. And then after you've done that, you're just going to give that person or object a voice. And you really will just slip in their skin and just be thinking, what would he, she, or it like to speak about? And what does he, she, or it have to say? And sometimes persona poems are written directly to another person, and sometimes they're just more general, just kind of spoken out into the world. And in my example, I have a persona poem that arose from a set of circumstances. And the first thing that happened is that I had a conversation with some other writer friends of mine, and we were talking about different subjects that our English teachers had given students to write about. And this was just fascinating to me as we were just having this conversation. And because, of course, I teach writing, I was really listening very intently and taking notes on this. And two of the ideas that came up were, what do socks say to each other in the dryer? Which I confess I would not really want to write about, but you might have a good time with that. And the other one that really intrigued me was, how many ways can you open a jar? So a few nights later, I was having dinner with my family, and I told them about this. And these topics really hit a nerve with my stepdaughter. She was in middle school at the time, and she just went off on a rant. I hate having to write about things like that. There's only one way to open a jar. You screw the lid off. And I did empathize with her frustration, but I couldn't help disagreeing with her, given the way I really love a good writing challenge. And I thought to myself, you know, there's all kinds of ways to open a jar. So I just had that rolling around in my head. And then a few days later, I learned that an acquaintance of mine who'd had what could be called a hard knock life was leaving her husband. And I pictured her that this time in her life, deciding that she was going to really try to use this as an opportunity, and that she would go to the community college and try to get a degree so she could get a better job. And then I thought, now what would happen if someone in this circumstance, her husband's gone and she has these children and she's got to worry about how she's going to have enough money to make it all work. And what if she got confronted with this topic in an English composition class? And so this poem, this persona poem, is how I imagined her response, her essay. And I'll just tell you that I started this with the word okay, because it seemed to me like that was definitely something that would come in her voice. And then I also chose if he was rather than the grammatically correct subjunctive, if he were. And if you're interested in learning more about the subjunctive, and actually for any grammar questions, I have a link there to a source I love. It's this online person called Grammar Girl, and she is really just awesome. So if you have any grammatical questions that arise, that's a great place to go. So anyway, back to the poem. I'm not 100% sure that this woman would have used the expression laced with shards like I do in my poem, but I just liked this wording too much not to use it. And I did figure she'd be writing as well as she could since this was for a grade. And another thing I'll tell you about this poem is that it's what they call heavily enjambed. And we're going to be talking about line breaks when we get to form and shape. We'll be going over this in detail. But I want you to be thinking about this now as we talk about voice, because where you break your lines, which is really what enjambment is about, is going to really affect the voice in your poem. And basically what happens with enjambment is instead of stopping where you would normally take a breath in a poem at the end of a sentence or the end of a phrase, an enjambed line just stops right in the middle of the flow and the sentence continues and there's a break there. And I'll just tell you about a couple of these so you can be thinking about this as you're creating your poem in voice. Because the thing I love about enjambment is you can tease out other meanings besides the meaning that's there. So this poem begins with the line, "Okay, assuming you really want." And then I break down to what's inside on its own line. And I really like that because I think that what this woman really wants is far more than what's inside the jar. And because there's that little break there, you can kind of have that pause where you don't know exactly what it is that she really wants. And then I love having what's inside all by itself because I love that question. What's inside this woman and the husband and the choices we've all made? And then in line 8, I have this line, "There's running." And I go on to talk about hot water over the lid, but I really like breaking here because I kept thinking about this woman leaving her husband, and "there's running" is a way to get out of a bad marriage. So there's that little extra meaning added there. And then later in the poem, I have, "though your mother told you," and then I have a line break and enjambment, "this wasn't a good idea," because I think that though your mother told you is going to be a lot. I'm sure that mother told her a lot more than the fact that this wasn't a good idea as a way to open a jar. And then also, this wasn't a good idea also, you know, it's that there's just a lot of things that I think have happened in this woman's life that weren't a good idea. So you can listen to it and study it if you like as you consider how you're going to put together your poem. And it's called English Composition 1504. "How many ways can you open a jar? Okay, assuming you really want what's inside, the peanut butter, the jelly, the pickles and brine, try turning, twisting, first with your hand, then with a towel or dishcloth, whatever you can find. There's running hot water over the lid before or after twisting. You don't always think of this. There's tapping around the lid in circles with a knife handle, bringing the knife down a little harder each time. There's banging the jar against the counter edge, though your mother told you this wasn't a good idea. There's handing it to your husband. He's got a stronger grip, but you can't, because he's not there anymore. And if he was, he'd do anything but take lids off jars. He'd go on drinking, knock you around, trying to open you, leave you alone with these children crying for peanut butter, for jelly, for everything you can't get at, even for the pickles, now laced with shards because you just flung the damn jar to the floor." Now, here's a reflection for you. How would you describe your own voice as a writer? And what changes in your own voice did you make to take on the voice of the person or object you personified? And if you want to hone your craft in this area, I'd suggest that you collect persona poems, and we are so lucky to have the World Wide Web. When I think about what it was like when I first became a poet and researching, it was just way, way harder. So you can just put that in a search engine and search away and find all kinds of interesting things. And then I would also encourage you to write several more persona poems yourself, because writing from someone else's voice, it is just a great way to learn more about your own voice, because you start considering, how you say things and what words you use to say them. So it's a really nice counterpoint to that. So I hope you have a great time with this tool.